Number 6 and I'm ready.
Young people like to talk to me today? There's my buddies right there. I brought some cheese today. You love cheese? You like that? You like cheese? What color cheese is that?
Yellow.
Yellow. What's that right there? Brown.
And I'm
great. Oh, you want the yellow or you want the brown? Is the brown your favorite part? No? Did you like cheese sandwiches?
I like black.
You like black? You might eat that.
But I'm actually in the house.
Oh. Well, you know, the reason this got this way is because we live in a fallen world. I didn't do anything to cause it. It just happened. I went in the refrigerator to make me a cheese sandwich, and I found out I didn't want that. Yeah, you can smell it too, kid. Does it smell good? Well, I'm going to give you a piece, so you can go home and share it with Tim over there. But we live in a fallen world, and the thing is, things happen in this world that we can't explain, but I do know this. Jesus loves us, and Jesus is with us no matter what we do. And that's why we need Jesus with us, is because we are in a fallen world. We need Jesus to walk with us and talk with us and to love us, even when our cheese goes bad. That's right. Know the Lord. That's good. So we're slowly getting in there, are we?
And I got the price of the small.
Okay. Well, he's very talkative today. You're very quiet. Miss that prayer for y'all, and I'll give you a gift. Father, I thank you for these young people who are willing to come up here and talk to them. I pray, Lord, that you continue to bless them and keep them and plant the seed of gospel in their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sideways.
Yeah, you see me sideways now. He's a character.
Okay, I sure am a character.
Anybody else want some cheese? Now, this is good sliced cheese. I paid good money for this. And somebody's going to eat it, but probably not me. Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. Jerry, I'm going to leave that cheese sitting there, but don't you get it now, okay?
I could use a good grilled cheese sandwich.
In Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7, as we work our way through the book of Isaiah, the message that God has given to us today is this, and you read it with me if you will. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. From the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Father, we come to you once more, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. We thank you for this wonderful gift that you gave the world, Lord. You gave your only begotten Son. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were born into this world. And we thank you, Jesus, that you gave your life for us. And Lord, we pray, Father, that we would each see that the blessings of life are not to be found in things or stuff or even in situations. But it's in knowing that you're with us no matter what we go through. Thank you for being there for us. Lord, we lift up our sister Shirley today, Lord. We pray for her every week. We pray for Roger, Lord, as he walks by his wife's side. We pray, Father, you would heal her stomach and heal her body. We pray for Carolyn, Lord, every week. We lift her up and we pray for Billy, Lord, as he walks with his wife. Lord, as we go through these changes in life, the things that come, we pray, Lord, that you would draw us ever closer to you. And we pray for healing, Lord, for these precious, precious saints, for Terry once more. But, Lord, we pray most of all, Lord, to feel your presence no matter what we're going through. Lord, manifest yourself in this place. Let us feel you today. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
One of the Andy Griffith shows, I like Andy Griffith, I watch it a lot, I've watched it over and over again. It's called The Spoiled Kid. And I don't know if y'all ever saw this episode, but Obie made friends with a little boy whose parents obviously had money, and he got a chrome bicycle. And this chrome bicycle, he loved, the little boy loved it to death, and he told Obie, he said, if you'll throw a temper tantrum, or you'll have a hissy fit, you'll get a bicycle too. And he told him, he said, I get all kinds of things from my parents, throwing hissy fit and throwing this and that. And anyway, of course, it didn't work with Andy. Andy let him just have a hissy fit and fall out and throw himself down and everything else. But at the end of the show, Andy had confiscated the young boy's bike. And the reason he confiscated it is because the boy kept breaking the law with the bike. Well, his daddy stomped into the courthouse, and he said this. He said, give me that bike back. You had no right to take my son's bike. And Andy told him, he said, listen, if I can't put him in jail, but I can put you in jail because you're responsible as a parent. And if your child doesn't obey the law, I'll put you in jail. And right then the little boy said this. He said, I don't care. Put my daddy in jail. I want my bicycle. And when I watched that, God spoke to my heart. And he asked me this question. He said, David, do you love me or do you love the stuff that I give you? You see, there's a lot of people who think they're saved, but they don't love Jesus. They don't love God. They love the stuff that God gives them. They see God as the genie in a bottle, and they pull the genie off the shelf and they rub the bottle and they say a few magic words and end it with an amen, and they want the genie to pop out.
Amen.
And to heal everything and to make everything better. And that's what people see God as, but that's not how God presents himself. You see, God gave us the greatest gift of all in Jesus Christ. And the gift that God gives to us is himself. And salvation is when we receive him and give ourselves back to him. Now I'm going to say that again because that's the most important thing you'll hear today.
Amen.
The salvation is when God gives himself to you and you give yourself back to him. That's what salvation is. That's what marriage is.
Amen.
Well, 39 years ago, I love to tease my wife. I walked into Walmart the other day, and when I walked in, I told him, I said, would you call the police? This woman's been following me for 39 years. And the people laughed and they made fun of it. And one lady said, that's really cute. But that's what marriage is. 39 years ago, I gave myself to my wife. And my wife gave herself back to me. And now it's no longer about me, but it's about her for me. Do y'all follow that?
Amen.
Salvation is much more than a marriage, though. Because God says, I call you to give yourself to me above everything else. You're to love me more than you love everything else. You know, I know as I'm saying these words, some of these words are just bouncing off of some of you because some of you are so dadburn selfish. You live your life in selfishness and you won't listen. But you will not be blessed until you receive Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And give yourself to Christ.
Amen.
That's where joy is. That's where happiness is.
Amen.
People ask me all the time, they say, why does this happen? Why does that happen? You know, the three greatest words I've ever learned is this: I don't know. I don't know. People say, how do you know? Why is this? I don't know. But I do know this. My God has promised never to leave me nor forsake me.
Amen.
Back in 1983, I was coming home from work in the military, and I had done everything. I wasn't doing anything wrong. I was following Jesus. I was a deacon in my church. I was doing everything. I studied my Bible every day, praying, doing everything I was supposed to do. And a young boy pulled out in front of me and rammed me at 55 miles an hour. He crushed my left side. He crushed my leg. And on that day, I flew through the air and should have died. I lay in the hospital bed. And as I lay there, people would come in and say, we don't know why this happened to you, Brother David. You're following God. Why did this happen? Do you know why things happen sometimes? Because people have free will. Amen.
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 That's right.
That young boy should have been paying attention. He was paying attention to the 16-year-old girl on his arm. He wasn't looking at the highway.
Amen.
You have free will. I have free will. And we make free will decisions and we do things. And when things happen, it's not God's fault.
Amen.
We make decisions that affect us. We eat a little too much ham.
Amen.
Our blood pressure goes up. The doctor says don't eat salt. We eat a little too much salt. We have heart problems. We do things we shouldn't do. And that affects us. And we're terribly, terribly frail. But God says, I love you.
Amen.
And I will be there with you no matter what. When God said this wonderful promise today, he said, unto us a child is born. And unto us a son is given. What God was saying was this. He was saying, listen, I'm going to become a child. Unto us a child is born. God is going to come to this world, and God is going to become a human. God is going to lower himself and become a part of creation. And the reason God did that is so that he can walk with us and talk with us and be with us. God came to this world so that he could be flesh and blood with us. Jesus suffered as no one else ever suffered. And Jesus went through valleys and peaks, but Jesus never abandoned us. And Jesus has been there. And Jesus says this. You know, look at your text today. It says at the end in verse number 7, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. There's two things that are fascinating in that statement. First of all, the zeal. What is zeal? Zeal is passion. God was passionate about what he promised. God was passionate about what he did. It was passion. It was love for you. God is passionate for you. You know, the Bible says that God numbers the very hairs of your head. I don't do that. Have y'all ever done that? Have you ever counted the hairs of your head there, Jerry? Do you know how many you got? He's thinking about it. We don't know that. But God is passionate. And then the second thing that's fascinating about that text is the Lord of hosts shall perform this. Lord of hosts is the title that God uses when he is commander-in-chief of all the armies of heaven. And every time you see Lord of hosts, you see God as a conquering God. But what God says is this, is he says, I am passionate about you. And he said, I am the Lord of hosts, and I will fight with you, and I will fight for you, and I will be with you no matter what. That's what God says. He says, this is the gift that I offer you. Not eternal. You know, we get sidetracked. We say, oh, well, salvation is about eternal life. No, it's not. It's about receiving Jesus. And when you receive Jesus, you will have eternal life. You will be in the garden of heaven with him forever and ever and ever. And when you receive the Son, you receive everything else. But if you reject the Son, then you lose everything else. Everything's gone then. That's the most important thing. Unto us a child is born. He was born unto us. Who is the us? The us is an unrighteous people. You know, there was a time when people used to go to church, hear preaching, and repent.
Amen.
People go to church now to hear an inspirational message so they can do a do-it-yourself life. Try to figure out something good to improve their life. But that's not what it's about. The Bible says, unto us, we're all sinners. We're all fallen. We're all broken. We all fall short. We all mistake. We all do the wrong thing. But that is why God became man. It's so that he could reach us. And he could walk with us. The Bible says that we're sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the bad news, but Philippians tells us this. Jesus, though he was God, made himself of no reputation, but took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, the Bible says he humbled himself even to the death of the cross. Jesus went to Calvary to die for you and for me so he could pay for our sins so that we can have access to God. The greatest gift of all is Jesus. The fact that God has given us to Jesus and Jesus to us. Hebrews 2 tells us this, that the children are partakers of flesh and blood. We're all flesh and blood. But he himself took part of the same. And the Bible says that Jesus came to this earth to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. If you love Jesus and you've received Jesus, then Jesus has brought you into a relationship with God. And that's the greatest thing we can have. I'll tell you, we all have bad days. I was talking with somebody last week. He was telling me how bad his life was and all the terrible things that were happening. Can I ask y'all a question? Did anybody have a fantastic week this week? How many of y'all this week had no problems at all? Because I'd like to sit down and hear about it. Amen. You had no problems. Ruby's in good shape. Amen. But Ruby gets excited, don't she?
Amen.
But let me tell you, we all go through valleys.
Amen.
We all go through pains. This fellow asked me a question. He said, why does God hate me so? Why is God punishing me? I said, God's not punishing you. But life is this. And I'm going to ask you this, Ruby. Did you look like you were when you were 18?
No.
Oh. Do you have less wrinkles now than you have when you were 18?
No.
I'm not being ugly to Ruby. Because every day we get up, these bodies hurt.
Amen.
I have neuropathy in my feet and in my legs. The accident of 1983 has taken my hip out. Right now, as I stand before you, I have pain in my hip. When I bend over, I make noises.
Amen.
Some of them very funny. It is not because God hates me that I'm going through this. But God knew that this body had an expiration date, just like that cheese I showed y'all had an expiration date. And God knew that this body was not going to last forever. But my God will last forever. My Jesus will last forever. And when you put yourself in Jesus' hand, he said this. He said, listen. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I don't know the state that Terry's in right now, but I know Terry is in the hands of Jesus.
Amen.
And I know that if God decides to take Terry, Terry will still be in the hands of Jesus. But I know if God sends Terry back, Terry will still be in the hands of Jesus.
Amen.
It's a win-win situation when you love Jesus.
Amen.
But you've got to love Jesus. And the thing is, the trials come to test the validity of your faith. I've had people tell me, oh, I love Jesus. But when the trials come and the fire hits, they fall all to pieces.
Amen.
As I lay in the hospital bed in 1983, every breath was a struggle. And as I breathed, I could feel my bones crunching in my legs. And at every moment, the devil kept whispering in my ear, Jesus doesn't love you. But I knew this, and I hold on to this even now. The faith that saves is the overcoming faith.
Amen.
Eight times in the book of Revelation it says this, he who overcometh, the faith that is only in feeling, ooh, I'm having a good day.
Amen.
I love my Jesus. It's a good day. I won the lottery. I love my Jesus. The IRS came and took all my money away. I hate Jesus. Oh, I'm feeling good today. Everything's working. I love my Jesus. I got it today. My body hurts. I hate Jesus. Jesus must hate me. That is not faith. That's feeling. That's all that is. And that doesn't save.
Amen.
God says unto us, a child is born. God doesn't say unto us, a situation was given. We all have different situations.
Amen.
And we all have trials and tribulations.
Amen.
But if we have Jesus, we have all we need.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible tells us in the text, but I want to get back to the text here. It says, and his name shall be called. And this Jesus that was given to us is given a fourfold name. In your King James, it goes, wonderful, comma, counselor. That's not correct. In the Hebrew, it's one word there. It says, his name shall be called, wonderful counselor. Now, that doesn't mean Jesus isn't wonderful all by himself. I love Jesus. Don't y'all? Oh, he is wonderful. But he's a wonderful counselor. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to Jesus, and he always gives me good advice.
Amen.
I've had people come to me and they say, preacher, I'm having this trouble, I'm having that trouble, and I don't know what to do. And I ask them, I say, well, have you talked to Jesus? Have you talked it over with Jesus? Well, I don't know. I thought I'd come see you first. Why do you want to come to the B string when you can go to the A string?
Amen.
Amen. Now, I don't mind talking to y'all, and sometimes people need a face to bounce things off of. And
amen.
I got that kind of pockmarked face. You can bounce things off of me. Amen. That's fine. But the first thing I'm going to ask you is, what did Jesus say to you?
Amen.
If you say, well, I didn't ask Jesus, that's not what I'm going to ask you. I'm going to say, well, why don't you talk to Jesus? Because I know he's a wonderful counselor. I know when my son died at the age of 17, what a devastating thing that was for my wife and I. And as everybody tried to comfort me, no one could.
Amen.
And people kept coming up and with all types of ideas. You know what helped me more than anything? I went to Jesus. And I said, Jesus, can you tell me why? And you know what Jesus told me? Jesus said, David, I love you, son, and I love you. And that's enough.
Amen.
That's what you need to know. I love you very, very much. And in the midst of all that, Jesus embraced me. And my wife and I came through that valley. And we were blessed. Beloved, you're going to go through valleys.
Amen.
You're going to go through valleys as people. You're going to go through valleys in your marriages. You're going to go through valleys as a church. You're going to have some that are going to be faithless, that are going to wander away from you, either in home or at church. You're going to have faithless ones. But that can't affect your relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
Because God is faithful.
Amen.
And I can tell you this, I've been in Jesus for a long time now. A long time. I got to thinking the other day, I accepted Jesus when I was 17. I'm 59 now. But he has never forsaken me in all that time. My Jesus has always been there. And he will always be there for you.
Amen.
He is a wonderful counselor. You can carry that to him. But I want you to notice what else he says about Jesus. He says he's a wonderful counselor. But it also says this. He is mighty God. He is able to do. Jesus can turn things around and he can fix stuff. And Jesus has fixed a lot of stuff for me over the years.
Amen.
Sometimes Jesus has just said, well, I'm going to leave it this way. And if he does, that's the best way for it to be. But there have been so many times when Jesus has fixed things. I tell you, I'm walking today. I didn't know if I was going to be walking after that accident. But Jesus fixed that.
Amen.
He gave me legs to walk in. Though they ache, and though they hurt, and though there's problems with it, I'm still walking. I don't have no prosthesis. I'm glad of that. Amen. Jesus will fix things. I've seen Jesus fix things that I didn't think were fixable, but he is Almighty God. The psalmist said this, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, and many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. Blessed is the one who makes the Lord his trust. He said he put a new song in my heart. And because of Jesus, I can say, a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior is he. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure are swift. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Oh, give Jesus a hand. Isn't Jesus good? Jesus is our everlasting Father. That third part of his name. Jesus said one day, Philip asked him the question. He said, Lord, if you'll show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. Jesus said, have you been with me so long? Don't you understand? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Amen.
All of the Father was in Jesus.
Amen.
You say, I don't know what God's will for my life is. Yes, you do. If you know Jesus, you do.
Amen.
Emulate Jesus. Do what Jesus said. Follow him. Do what Jesus said. Jesus never carried a grudge, but Jesus sure carried my sins.
Amen.
Jesus was never angry longer than necessary. He didn't let the sun go down on his anger. Jesus loved and was loving. Jesus reached out to everybody. He was encouraging. Be a little bit of Jesus right now. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad to see you. Oh, do that when you're on the outside too. Tell people Jesus is there. He is the Father. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. See, eternal life is a secondary part. The first part is the fact that Jesus is there. And he says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, I love that promise, don't you?
Amen.
Jesus said, if you're in me and I'm in you, then you don't have to worry about it. Nobody will ever take you away. And then he says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than I, and no man will pluck them out of my Father's hands. Jesus said, if you love me and you follow me, then you don't need to worry about nothing else. I'm going to take care of you. That doesn't mean you're not going to have valleys.
Amen.
Unless you're fortunate and blessed. Married couples who have been together for a while, one is going to go before the other. Life has proven that to us. That happens. It's not because God hates you. It's not because God's punishing you. It's because that's life. That's life on this side of the veil. But we're going to come to the other side of the veil one day. And what a good thing that's going to be. Amen. Amen. That last name of Jesus, He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. You will not have peace in your life until you have Jesus in your life.
Amen.
You will not have joy in your life until you have Jesus in your life. That's what you need to be focused on. Unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. I don't know, but Jesus does.
Amen.
Father, we love you so very much. We thank you for Jesus. We pray, Lord God, that if there's anyone who does not have you in their lives, dear Lord, has not received the gift of salvation, then, Lord, that I pray that today would be the day they'd say yes to you, that they would invite you into their lives, that they would receive you, dear Jesus, as you are Lord and Savior. And, Lord, for the rest, Lord, I pray that our focus would be upon you. You are mighty God. You can turn around whatever may afflict us. Lord, we do pray that you would turn around the sicknesses and pains that afflict us. We do bring these before you, Lord. We are your sheep, the sheep of your pasture. But Lord, we're satisfied to trust you no matter what, to love you no matter what, to believe in you no matter what, and to keep on trusting, believing, and following you until the day that you call us from this place and into the glorious heaven that is ours. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen.
Amen. Turn with me and let us sing number 62 for this morning's invitation. Number 62. Let us sing.
All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside?
Good to be in the house of God.
Amen.
I'm going to ask my brother Billy and my brother Dennis, if you would, head to the door, grab collection plates. We'll ask you to give for the Oliver family. If you didn't have a chance to, you're not prepared for that, I know, today. We'll do it again next Sunday as well. But let's talk about Sunday school before we close.